Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for the morning that we've had so far, and we just pray for your continued presence here as we go into Bible study. And Father, I pray that you help this teacher to present the lesson in a way that, Lord, would honor and glorify you most of all, and that it would be beneficial to those that are here this morning. I pray that you just help me stand behind you and you use me as your mouthpiece as we look at the lesson today. Father, I thank you again for the Kellys and their wonderful ministry that they've shared with us this morning. What a blessing. Now, Father, we pray for this time together, for I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I do have a video I want to start with this morning. As you didn't have one last time.
It was a long, cold winter of 1863. The war between the states raged mercilessly. Antietam, Vicksburg, Gettysburg, Chickamauga. Sons, fathers, and brothers from Mississippi to Maine had not come home for Christmas, and many would never return. Poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow sat in Cambridge, Massachusetts, pondering the state of the world around him. Longfellow had been widowed for 2 years since his wife's dress tragically caught fire, and his son, Charles, was now seriously wounded, having been injured on December 1st by a Confederate bullet at the Battle of New Hope Church. As he sat nursing his son on the long road to recovery, listening to the church bells pealing forth Christmas tidings, he struggled with the message of the angels proclaiming, "Peace on earth, goodwill towards men." And he took up his pen and wrote.
This Sunday, we're going to get ready for Christmas. The Kellys have already got us in the mood, and we're going to continue in that theme. And we're going to look at this morning, the peace of Christmas. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. It's one of my favorite Christmas songs. My very favorite is O Come Emmanuel that we heard this morning. But this is another one of my favorites. And as the song, if you didn't pick up on it, during the Civil War, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote the lyrics of I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And like so many this time of year, his heart was hurting with despair, with hatred, and with the horrors of the war that his eyes saw every day. And with heartfelt candor, he wrote these words, "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." However, regardless of the things that were going on around him, something unseen nudged his writing to change from despair to hope when he penned this verse. "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." And the bells are ringing, peace on earth. So this morning, let me ask you as we start looking at this lesson, what can cause an author to write this kind of song in the times that he was in? What can cause him to do that? Especially to go from despair to hope in the song. His faith? Yeah. Holy Spirit? Peace. We're going to look at peace this morning, the issue of peace. And I'm going to use as a springboard for our lesson, Isaiah 9:6. And let me read that for you this morning. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." At a time when the society of the day was in great upheaval and had reverted to idolatry, including child sacrifices, a message of hope is given by the prophet. And with all that was going on around them, how do you think the people felt to get this word from the prophet? How do you think they felt? Hopeful. Some may have been hopeful, Some may have not cared. May not have cared. Others might have been hopeful. So let me ask you this. What kind of things are going on around us today? All kinds of mess. Look at the world. Is there hatred? Is there despair? Is there war? Is there conflict? Is there evil? Yes. Verse 6 contains the name that the Christ child would be called. And look at those. Wonderful Counselor. He is exceptional. He gives the right advice. Mighty God. He is God Himself. Everlasting Father. He is timeless. The Prince of Peace. His government is one of justice and peace. That's from the Old Testament. Let's jump to the New Testament. Luke 2:13-14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth what to men? Peace. The announcement is, many of you know, is known as the Gloria. And since that announcement, there's been hundreds of songs written about that. We all long for peace in our lives. And yet peace is sadly lacking. People are full of worry and anxiety. Relationships are full of conflict and stress. The world is full of conflict and wars. Yet there's three critical areas of our life that I believe we can experience peace in, and I believe the Lord wants us to experience peace in those three areas as we head into Christmas. And we're going to look at those for the next few minutes.
Mike, I was, a lot of my devotions were peace. I mean, it's probably, well, I do Jesus Calling, and I wore it out. I mean, I've tried to go back to other devotions, but the daily of Jesus Calling is just, says everything to me each and every day. But anyway, it's been a lot about peace, so I looked it up, and it said in the King James Version that 479 times Jesus talked about peace.
Peace. Wow.
I didn't know that that was that good.
I wouldn't have thought that either. Thank you for sharing that. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the first great benefit of those that have been justified by faith? Peace. So the first area that God would want us to have peace in is peace with Him. Peace with God. This is a spiritual peace, and it's the most important. It affects everything else. God doesn't want us to go through life disconnected from Him. As we looked at a couple of weeks ago when we were looking at Psalm 91, He wants us to dwell in the secret place of the Almighty, in the shelter of the Almighty. Peace with God doesn't come from anything that we can do. Peace with God comes from everything He did for us. I've never thought about it till this week, and it just came to my mind, and I put it down. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And isn't that a great Christmas verse too?
Yes, it is.
The greatest gift ever given. So the first question I want to ask you this morning is, do you have peace with God? If your faith is in Christ, then you have that peace. But we never want to take for granted anytime there's a worship service or a Bible study that everyone's saved, because they're not. So do you have peace with God this morning? God wants to give you the most important peace this Christmas, and that's peace with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Mike, I've been teaching Sunday school for a long, long time, and you and I used to teach college class over at First Baptist years ago when we were deacons. And but I've only had, that I remember, one person saved in Sunday school or Bible study, whatever you want, small group, whatever you want to call that, like only one person. But the one person that was saved because we presented the gospel.
Hmm.
We presented the death, burial, and resurrection. And when I was hearing the songs that the Kelly sang about this morning, the only thing that Jesus may not have is your heart. And he came to give us a new heart. And so it makes sense to me at Christmas time, why don't you give Jesus something he may not already have? Why don't you give him your whole heart? And we make something so hard out of it, but it's simply, in order to be saved, you've got to come to God his way. And I don't want to get to preaching here. I just want to share the gospel real quick. Somebody here might get saved today.
That's right.
But Jesus paid the price for all of our sins. We've all got the same problem. And so when he paid that price, shed his blood, gave his life, laid his life down for us so that we could be forgiven of our sin, it satisfied God's wrath. He has to punish sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Bible says that if we'd be willing to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, in other words, surrendering to him, allowing him to make a change that only he can make in, by giving us a new heart, and there's two proponents of that, the mouth and the heart. The distance from heaven to hell, y'all have heard that, is about 18 inches. It's not enough to know it up here. You've got to have it down here.
Yeah.
And so if you'd be willing to confess your sins to the Lord and ask him for his forgiveness and tell him today, I know that you're the Son of God and you're alive forevermore. You got up from the grave never to die again. And I want to surrender everything that I am to everything that you are. Save me today. It's that simple.
Yes.
It's a free gift. But it did not come cheap. So,
yeah.
If you need to do that today, don't you? How sad it would be for anybody to leave Second Mile Church lost.
Amen.
At Christmas time.
Yeah.
So don't you do that today.
That's right.
Give your life to Jesus. I'm sorry.
No, that's great. I know. I know. You jump in anytime you want to. Yeah.
No one can ever step foot in this sanctuary, ever, and not have that invitation. No one
yes.
can ever say
no.
that invitation was never given.
That's right.
I think
that's
it's
right.
given in any capacity that we're ever here.
Yes.
And
it is.
Please don't apologize, Brother Powell.
I wouldn't
yes.
apologize for the gospel.
Not at all.
I think I'm speaking for everybody.
All right. With three areas of our lives we need to experience peace in at Christmas. The first is peace with God.
Yes.
Let's look at the next area. In John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. The second area of peace we need to experience at Christmas is peace within. This is the internal peace, the emotional peace. I was reminded about this story of, I call him Simeon. You may call him Simon. It's spelled S-I-M-E-O-N in the scripture, and my southern heritage says it's Simeon. Okay? So that's how I'm going to read it. But I wanted to share this with you, the story of Simeon, and it's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32. Listen to these verses. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God, saying, Lord, Now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. God had promised Simeon that he would not die until he saw the Christ child. And wouldn't you know it, the Holy Spirit moved on Simeon and he went to the temple at just the right time when Jesus' parents was bringing him to the temple. You read in those scriptures where Simeon took Jesus in his arms and said, "Now you are letting your servant depart in peace." Simeon is a wonderful example of Jesus bringing personal peace. And when he embraced Christ, he experienced peace within. Isn't that amazing? Look at Paul's example that's found in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Can you imagine a peace that surpasses all understanding? God's peace is different from the world's peace. True peace is not found in positive thinking, the absence of war, conflict, or in good feelings. It comes from knowing that God is in control. This kind of peace is sometimes hard to describe, and the scripture tells us it's sometimes hard to understand. So the second question we need to ask ourselves this morning, do we have peace within? And again, this peace of God is only available in and through a relationship with Christ Jesus. And when you have peace with God, you have peace within. We're moving right along this morning. It brought to mind an old saying. Y'all have heard it 1,000 times. No Christ, no peace. N-O, no Christ, no peace. No Christ, K-N-O-W. No Christ, no peace. Well, that one's from way back.
That's the best kind.
Romans 12, 18. "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." The third piece this morning, the area of our life where we need to experience peace, is peace with others. Peace with God, peace within, and peace with others. This is a relational peace. Have you ever noticed that the times you're the farthest away from God, the more your relationships with others suffer? Is that not a true statement? Let me ask you this. When you sit down for Christmas dinner this year, will the issue of politics come up? Better not. Well, some of y'all won't respond, but you know what I'm talking about. Let me ask you this. How well does that usually go? Into an argument? A fight? How do you respond when someone at your table says, "Can you believe those crazy Democrats are? Or those nutty Republicans are?" You want to respond? Do you bite your tongue? Or do you just go all out? How you respond is very important. Possibly best to remember the seventh beatitude. You know, we looked at this several months ago, early in the year. Remember the seventh beatitude? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. We go through so many challenges in our life, and one of the most difficult ones is when our relationships are just in turmoil. Christians are called not to be provocative or contentious. We're called to love peace, be at peace, and make peace. So, do you have peace with others this morning? The third area of our life.
Mike, I think one of the big obstacles to having peace with others is our social media.
Mm.
There's a right way and a wrong way to respond on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, to all the stuff. It's really easy to sit there behind your little laptop, your digital device, whatever you've got, and disagree with somebody. But the scripture that Mike just read, we're supposed to be at peace as best we can with everybody. And yeah. Some of the comments by Christians on Facebook are not good. And you need to learn how to agree to disagree. And sometimes we just, you know, I've noticed I've never had to apologize for anything I didn't say.
Well,
you know, we need to know when to say something and when to shut up.
Yes. And,
I read something this afternoon and I think, oh my goodness, you know, why would we say that?
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It's easy to hide behind social media. It'd be a lot different if you had to try and say that to their face, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Or at least wait 24 hours until you're calm down a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. You know, if in order to have peace with others, like I mentioned, we just a pause would be good, or we shouldn't be provocative and contentious. I know there's been times people have said something to me and I want so badly to respond, and it's hard to bite your tongue because it just is. Yeah, we're in the flesh and it's our human nature to respond. And yes, that's a good one. Yes. Yeah.
If something, someone or something has been, you've been done wrong, you don't have to take up for yourself. God's going to take up for you.
Amen. That's true.
And when he takes up vengeance on your behalf, oh, that's
yes.
pretty good stuff.
Yes.
And then the next part of that is, guess what I'm supposed to do for my enemy?
Mm-hmm.
It's more than that. If your enemy's hungry,
they don't know.
If your enemy is thirsty,
drink.
I'm getting the preach. Anyways, there's a right way and a wrong way to respond, as Mike said.
Yeah.
And I've been on the bad end of that several times.
Mm-hmm. Peace with others. You know, if our faith is in Christ, then we have all the resources we need to live peaceably with other people. You know, you've got a bonus today. I've got a second video I want to show you. For the Kellys, when I teach, I usually use a video to help introduce the lesson, to get their minds thinking. So they get a bonus today. They get a second video. Some of y'all may remember that. That was actually a commercial. Sainsbury Chocolate made this commercial in 2014. And it's based on an actual event that occurred in World War I. Let me read insert to you from one of the individuals who was there. It's known as the Christmas Truce or the Christmas Peace. In World War I, roughly 100,000 British and German troops were involved in an unofficial ceasefire along the Western Front. The truce started on Christmas Eve. No one gave the command. It started on Christmas Eve, 1914, when German troops decorated the area around their trenches. Captain Bruce Barnes' father, who was there, described it this way. The Germans placed candles on their trenches and on Christmas trees and then continued the celebration by singing Christmas carols. The British, who Captain Barnes' father was, responded by singing carols of their own. The two sides continued shouting Christmas greetings to each other, and soon thereafter, there were excursions across no man's land, where small gifts were exchanged, such as food, tobacco, and souvenirs, such as buttons and hats. And Captain Barnes' father said, the artillery in the region fell silent. Eerily silent. It was later mentioned that those who found out about the unofficial truce or ceasefire were not happy. The higher up commands were not happy with what took place on Christmas Eve. And it continued into the next day, Christmas Day. Actual true story. So what can cause two opposing armies to simply stop fighting in the middle of a war on Christmas Eve? The love of Christ. I think it goes back to the first verse we looked at this morning in Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And whether man is willing to admit it or not, I believe that deep down in every man's heart and soul, even when he's at war, there's something special about Christmas, because that's the time we recognize the birth of our Savior. They may not admit it, but I believe deep down they recognize that our Savior was born and there is peace. This Christmas, our Lord Jesus would want us to experience peace with Him, peace within, and peace with others. And in so doing, we experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. I used to teach this lesson to college students, as Cal mentioned, and I used to give them a Christmas challenge, but I'll share with you how that started. Many years ago, Donna and I, I think Wade was probably, he wasn't 5 years old probably, and after the Christmas Eve, we would get together on Christmas Eve, and that's when we would open presents, and we'd eat and have a fun time. And after the festivities, I remember going outside to get something out of the car. And it struck me. It was quiet. I didn't hear any cars on the street. I didn't hear any of the semi-trucks on the interstate. I didn't hear any horns. I didn't hear any dogs barking. I was just captivated by the moment of how peaceful it was on Christmas Eve. And I used to tell our college students when I teach this lesson, here's a Christmas challenge for you. After you get through doing everything there is to do on Christmas Eve, I want you to go outside and just listen and see what you experience. I can't explain it, but it was eerily quiet. And it dawned on me, it was Christmas Eve, the birth of our Savior. There's something special about Christmas, and of course there's something special about Jesus. And the peace of Christmas is found in the Christ of Christmas. And it's my hope that you experience peace this Christmas in all three areas of your life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for the time together we've shared. Father, we thank you for the greatest gift ever given, your Son, Jesus. What a difference he makes in every area of our life. And Father, what a joy it would be for us to experience the peace of Christ this Christmas. And I pray that you prepare our hearts and our minds to experience just that. Even through the hustle and bustle of the holidays and family and friends and events and things that are going on, help us to take time to pause and experience the peace of Christmas. And it's in the Christ of Christmas name that we pray. Amen.